You can turn in your Bibles to Psalm 100. 100 is where I'm going. So first of all, I went on the website and was like, okay, I'm preaching the Saturday after Thanksgiving. Let me listen to last year's Thanksgiving message and see how that went. And then I realized after Googling what the Thanksgiving date was that I also spoke last year after Thanksgiving, but I didn't talk about anything having to do with Thanksgiving. That was when I was in the middle of preaching about Micah 6:8, and so I was on like the second part of that, and I was like, oh, well, that wasn't helpful, Val. Thanks. But it's all good. It's all good. You're good. I was like, there's still music going on, and then I realized that I didn't actually tell my husband, and I didn't give the title of the message, so he doesn't finish. So the title of the message is Thanksgiving and the Importance of Sharing Our Stories. Thanksgiving and the Importance of Sharing Our Stories. So Psalm 100. And I think I'm spending a lot of time in the Psalms, so we're just here. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. And if you flip a couple pages over, it's like six pages over in my Bible, Psalm 111. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. In the company of the upright, in the congregation, great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Full of splendor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wondrous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and merciful. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works in giving them the inheritance of the nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. All throughout the Psalms, we see this theme of thanksgiving. It's like, hey, this is how you enter the courts of the Lord, with thanksgiving. This is the expression of a heart that loves Jesus, thanksgiving. This is the way you praise him. Thanks, give thanks. It's all over the Psalms. I mean, it's all over the Bible, really, but you just see it in the Psalms, in this kind of congregational hymn book, just this constant reiteration over and over and over that it is good and right and wholehearted, like the expression of a wholehearted heart, to thank the Lord. In Psalm 9:1, New King James says, I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvelous works. And then in the ESV you have, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all your wondrous deeds, wonderful deeds. And in the Amplified, it says, I will give thanks and praise the Lord with all my heart. I will tell aloud all your wonders and marvelous deeds. That word there that's being translated as praise or give thanks is the Hebrew word yada, which is like to give thanks, to loud, or to praise. I think literally it's talking about extending your hands, okay? There are a number of Hebrew words for praise, and they all have these slightly different shades of meaning. Like some are to rejoice or to spin wildly before the Lord. Some are to bow down before the Lord. And I think sometimes we lose the full impact of what is meant because we just use this catch-all word, praise. And it's like a bucket that we just put in all the richness of our expression to God. So depending on kind of how you grew up, especially if you grew up in the church, that word praise might mean something totally different to you than someone who grew up in a different expression. Right? And so sometimes we miss out. We're reading these Psalms and it's like, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And you're like, oh yeah, so praise is this thing. But there's all these different things that it could mean. And sometimes we just miss it because we put God and we put what praise looks like and we put what worship looks like just in the box of what we're familiar with. And that's a sad thing, you know? I think some of the richest times of my life have been when I've worshiped with groups that love Jesus, like intensely love Jesus, but were nothing like what I grew up with. You know, like you go someplace else and you're like, the Spirit is here. Like these people love the Lord and I have no clue what is going on. Like whether they are more like intense and more like spinning wildly than you're used to, or they're more like reserved than you're used to, but you feel the Lord there. You know, I've been in some churches where they're still rocking the hymn books. Like, I love it. I love a hymn book. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I love the theological richness of the hymns. Like, yes, let's sing all six verses. Don't skip any of them. They are all amazing. Okay? And so, but been in some of those churches and they've got the pipe organ and they've got the book of hymns and it is not dry and it is not dusty and they've got like the full-fledged four-part harmony going and I can't follow any of those, so I'm just trying to stay in my lane, just trying to figure out where to go. But it is good. It is good. And then I've been in churches where, you know, they are flagging and dancing and spinning. I went to the Philippines for 2 weeks, and they had, like, this intense tambourine action going. Like, not just tambourine with the beat, but, like, full-fledged, we are going to dance it out and have the most complex rhythm ever. And I am just like, wow. But Jesus was with it. Like, it was so intense before the Lord. And then we were just in Texas in September, and I feel like I keep going back to this, but this was like, it was an intense time. But Ron and I just walked around for Wednesday, Thursday, like 5 days, just like stunned, because there were so many cultures represented, and they all had place to worship Jesus as their culture was. And so you had, you know, some Japanese women walking around with the oboes and the kimonos. Obi, thank you. I thought I knew that when I started, and then I realized that I didn't. And then you had, you know, First Nations people, and they're in their full headdress, and the woman has the eagle feathers on her hands, and he's like, let's invite the rain of the Lord to come, and she's doing like a legit rain dance. Like a legit one, and you're just like, wow, something might actually just like happen right now, because she is really inviting the Lord with her cultural expression. And so sometimes we just get in this little like, this is how this works, and this is how we praise Jesus, and if he comes in another way, well, let's just not even talk about that, right? Okay, so I would just encourage you, this is not where I'm going with this message, but I would just encourage you to open yourself to the fullness of what the Lord has to offer, because he made us different for a reason, right? He made different cultural expressions, and he made different languages, and he made different styles of music. And it is fun, and it is good, and it is right to realize that all those things are good before the Lord and that he is honored. You know, Revelations gives us this picture of every nation and every tribe and every tongue worshiping the Lord, which means that it's not all gonna sound like what you're used to, whatever what you're used to might be, right? Okay, so, but we're specifically talking about giving thanks as one of the myriad ways in which we can praise the Lord. So thanks in the Webster's 1828 dictionary, of course, is an expression of gratitude, an acknowledgement made to express a sense of favor or kindness received. And what was interesting to me is that the definition goes on to say, gratitude is the feeling or sentiment excited by kindness, but thanks are the expression of that sentiment. So in the word thanks, it bundled up in that word is you're expressing it, right? Gratitude is the feeling, and there's nothing wrong with gratitude, right? Like, everything starts there. Something happens, and you're like, oh, that was good. That was great. Oh, man, that was so awesome. But thanks is when you actually let it out, when you actually express it and invite someone else into what you're feeling internally. And sometimes we forget that part, like with our worship and stuff and with our praise and everything. We're just like, I mean, it happened to me more as a teen, but you'd always have someone like with their hands in their pockets. And, you know, if anyone ever called them out on it or whatever, they'd be like, well, I'm feeling it on the inside. Like, you can't judge my praise. Like, it's there. And I mean, there's legitimacy to that, but there is an expression that actually has to. So yes, I think someone can call into question if there is no actual expression going on, whether you are actually entering in. Like, I think legitimately that is something that can be asked, you know? So thanks is the expression of the internal gratitude that you feel. So in Psalm 9, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all your wonderful deeds. The act of giving thanks and praising the Lord in this verse is tied to us telling of his wonderful acts. In the ESV, the word recount is used. And Webster's defines recount as to relate in detail, to recite, to tell or narrate the particulars, to rehearse. Now, for me, the stories and the acts of the Lord where I am most able to share the details, where I can relate it in detail, where I can narrate the particulars, as it says, are the ones in which I was intimately involved, right? My stories, my testimonies. If I was there, and if I was in it, then I have all sorts of details, all sorts of particulars that I can tell, right? So I will recount of your wonderful deeds. Just kind of inherent in that word is that we're talking about stuff that happened to us, right? Do you guys see that with me? Is everyone following that? Okay, I'm going to take a sip of water now. I had to say it because I was looking for a break to put the microphone on mute, and it just wasn't happening. So we're all family here. I'm just going to tell you I needed a drink. Okay. So the definition of testimony that we use in the church is a public profession of a religious experience. You know, there's all these other testimonies, you know, in court and all those different things, but we're talking about a public profession of a religious experience. And frequently we use that conversation about testimony or sharing your testimony is when we're asking someone to explain how they became a Christian, right? Like, that's most frequently when we say, what's your testimony? As we're asking someone, how did you become a Christian? How did you get saved? How did you end up here, right? Or along those lines, it's this series of events in their lives that led them to realize God as Savior, right? Okay, so my personal expanded definition of testimony is a narrative sharing a revelation of who God is that was highlighted to you in a specific season or through a series of events, right? It's a narrative, like a story, a thing, a narrative sharing a revelation of who God is that is highlighted to you in a specific season or through a series of events. So when we're talking about our salvation testimony, it's God the Savior was highlighted to us. And our salvation testimony is how we got there. Everyone with me? Like, how we got there. So it's like, before you were a Christian, you did not know God as Savior. Even if you would say it, you did not have it highlighted to you. It was not an in-depth truth that you were living in. And so your personal salvation testimony is how you got from there, dead to the things of the Lord, to alive to the things of the Lord and professing him as your Savior. Okay? So I think, you know, testimonies can and should be more than just your salvation experience. and that it, using kind of my personal expanded definition, is we could look at it as any time that we had the Lord highlighted to us, like who he is, highlighted in a new way. I say new, not to mean like the Lord did something that's never been done before, and all of a sudden he has some new name that no one else has ever. No, like you received a new revelation of who he is, a name that he already is, a truth that he already is, and you're sharing the story of how that was highlighted to you. Okay, like I've shared a couple stories here, like God as a healer, and talking about when I messed up my knees when I was 14, and how I lived with these really messed up knees, and then how my back, that I also had, sciatica and everything after I had Adea and Nikaya, and how the Lord changed both of those things in a second when I was 29, when I moved to Kansas City. And that first Friday night we were there, they said, hey, we want to pray for knees and backs. And I was like, oh, I've got some knees and backs issues. Guess that's me. And raised my hand. And this young 20-something-year-old woman came over to me and put her two fingers on my shoulder and said, Lord, I pray that you would touch my sister. And I felt the fire of God just, right? And she was like, did you feel anything? Right? And I was like, I felt the fire of God. And she went, well, that's good. And she went and she sat down, right? Like, and so, but all of a sudden I was like, whoa. So God is fire. God is healer. So there's this kind of series of events where I went, this is who he is, right? And if at any other point in my life someone said, hey, is God a healer? I'd have been like, yes. But now I have this moment that backs this up, right? Or, God is a God of endurance. He gives long suffering. I call him the God of more rope because I share these stories in my life in which I felt like I was at the end of my rope and I was about to snap. And the Lord goes, and I go, hey, Lord, I'm at the end of my rope. Please change something. And instead of changing the situation, he changed my spirit and he gave me more rope. Right? And so then all of a sudden I wasn't at the end of my rope anymore. You know, and so there's a number of those situations where I'm like, Lord, oh, this is awful. I'm at the end of my rope. And then God just kind of goes and gives me more rope instead of changing the situation. One of those, like a short little one. And it's so many times our stories are so personal that someone's like, what? You know? And so the burden is on us to communicate them well, right, to help people enter into why it was such a big deal. But sometimes you're just like, and then, and they're like, okay. You're like, and Jesus loves me! Like, yeah, he does, Val. But when we were young married and we were looking to get pregnant, it took us a couple of years to get pregnant from when we intentionally, like, were like, okay, it's time for a baby. And then there was no baby, you know? And, a lot of women have that story. And for us, there was this one chunk of time where, because when you're new married, people are like in your business and they want to know, like, so when are you going to have a baby? When are you going to have a baby? And sometimes when you're trying, like, just as a side note, if you don't know sometimes people's stories, and sometimes people can't, like, until the Lord intervenes, there's not naturally going to be a baby coming out. And sometimes that asking can be the most painful thing. You know, and we didn't have anything wrong. It just wasn't the time yet. But there came a chunk of time when literally, I don't say that lightly, literally, I was getting asked 10 times a day why we didn't have babies yet. Like, literally, people were like, hey, you got something cooking in that yet? Which is just tacky, right? Like, it's just a tacky way to ask. Or, when are you going to have babies? Man, you've been buried for a little bit, though. When's there going to be a baby, Sykes? You know? And, or we'd go to a restaurant and we'd see somebody. They'd be like, oh, your meal looks good. Well, you can eat whatever you want when you're pregnant. And I'm like, And so there came a point when I was just like, Lord, I can't do this. I am at the end of my rope. I can no longer take this. And I didn't get pregnant the next month. But the Lord was gracious to give me endurance. And he was also gracious to make people stop talking. Because literally it was from one moment, one day to the next. It was like at least 10 times a day. And then all of a sudden it was zero. Like no one had anything to say about our lack of children. Which at that season was literally the Lord. it was the Lord. And so there's these pieces of your story where you go, hey, like, this happened, and then this happened, and then this happened, and then this happened. And this is who the Lord is. And this is how he revealed himself to me. And I think it's really, really important in our Christian walk that we share those stories. Not just our salvation testimonies, which are important to share. Like, don't get me wrong, just because I'm highlighting other stories does not mean I'm like, hey, don't share your salvation stories. Share those too, right? But don't let people think that life and revelation from the Lord ended when you like answered the altar call. Like, and then I answered the altar call, and then people are like, okay. You know, sometimes we've asked people, so what is the Lord doing now in your life? And they're like, my three-year-old, his new thing is to be like, with the hand on his chin. Frequently when I'm asking him if he's sorry that he disobeyed. Right? And so don't be like that. Like when someone's like, hey, what's the Lord doing for you now? Like what's going on? Like what's your testimony? What's happening now? Is if you, okay, so I have been a Christian since I was 8 and like walking with the Lord like no turning back since I was 14, right? So it's been 22 years, right? So I shouldn't have to reach back 2 decades to share of the goodness of the Lord. Like if I'm specifically sharing about how I came to know the Lord, great. It's just like me sharing like how Ron and I got married and our story of love. Like it's great. But if someone's like, so why are you still married to your husband? Like, we just passed our 14th wedding anniversary. Like, I don't need to reach back 14 years to be like, okay, so, you know, like, there's stuff now that's like, hey, this is why I love my husband. Like, I don't gotta go back to when I was 21, you know, to tell why I love him. And it's the same thing with the Lord. I don't have to reach back 2 decades to explain why the Lord is good. I can, and it's fun to. But I don't have to, right? And so I wanted to just kind of go through some reasons why we should share our testimonies, okay? The first one is a you reason. It reminds you of God's goodness to you. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Every good and perfect gift is from above. So every good thing that I have in my life is from the Lord. And sometimes I can get in a funk. Like, I'll just be real. Like, I can get in a funk. I can be like, ugh, life. You know? And so at those moments, remembering the goodness of God to me is so good. It brings so much life and health to my spirit and to my bones, to my body. You know, it just brings you up. And, like, I like to share those stories because I like remembering. You know, I like remembering what God has done. Sometimes I get into the middle of the story and I'm like, oh, and then I forgot about this part. But, you know, and you just, it brings a smile to my face and it causes me to fall more in love with the Lord. Because I'm just reminded of how good he is. Of how good he is. Okay? All through the Psalms, I'm not going to... Well, they all say the same thing. But the verse is, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. And that's like in Psalm 107, Psalm 118, Psalm 136. I stopped there from, like, I Googled that phrase, and then it was like, I was like, give thanks to the Lord for he is good verse. And it was like, every entry was a different one. And, First Chronicles 16. And then I just stopped. Right. But so it's this theme, give thanks to the Lord for he is good. Right? His love endures forever. We thank him. We share our stories, and it reminds us of the goodness of God to us. Along those same lines, thing number two, it encourages others in their walk with the Lord. It reminds others of how good God is. I heard someone say that encourage is like in, I-N, courage, putting courage into someone else's heart. So when you encourage another Christian, you're putting courage into their heart to follow and love Jesus wholeheartedly. So when I share my stories, I'm encouraging you to continue your walk with the Lord. When I hear your story, it encourages me. It puts courage and strength in me to go, man, God is good. Or, wow, he did that. He does that. You know, like, it encourages others to walk well with the Lord. Number three, it demonstrates the unchanging nature of God. Still in that James 1:17. Okay? The Father of light who does not change like shifting shadows. Right? God does not change. So you read the Bible and you're like, oh, God's a healer in the Bible. And then something happens in your life and you're like, whoa, God's a healer. Like, this is thousands of years later and he's still doing it. Oh man, he's still doing it. You know? Why is this picture in my head? Oh, we watched A Wrinkle in Time the other night with my kids, and Oprah was in it. And so I have this picture of Oprah going, and you get a healing, and you get a healing, and you know, like how she used to do on her show, like when she'd give out gifts. So that was in my brain, and I could not figure out why it was there, but it's because we watched that movie. But it's like, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He was this person, this name. He revealed this aspect of himself in the Bible. He has revealed himself in that same way to other people you know. He can and will reveal himself in that same way in your life. You with me? Okay. So your story, or someone else's story, demonstrates the unchanging nature of God. How he expresses himself yesterday, today, and forever. That's what I was saying earlier when I was saying a new revelation of God. It's not really new. It's just hitting you in a new way. It's not like you went into the woods for 40 years and you came out and you have this revelation of the Lord that no one has ever, like, ever touched. Like, that's not how God works. We are all a body. Someone has had the revelation. Okay, it just was highlighted to you in a fresh way, in a more intense way than perhaps it was before. Okay, and so sharing that story demonstrates that God is who he says he is. Like, he's Jehovah Jireh. He's the Lord who provides, right? Number four, it provides a resource for others who are on a similar journey. And I put this in a separate category than encouraging others in their walk with the Lord, because I can not need God to reveal himself in a certain way and still be encouraged by someone's story. Like, someone can share something and I can be like, yeah, yeah, amen, 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 and just feel generally encouraged. But sometimes someone shares their story and it's the way I need God to reveal himself to me right now. And so it gives me strength to draw on in a very different way. Because I'm like, oh, I need that from the Lord. I need that from the Lord. Or also in providing a resource, it kind of shows me what my path might look like. Like, if I'm in the middle of my story, sometimes I kind of need to know, what's the map? Am I just lost? Is this ever going to change? And then to have someone come alongside me and go, hey, this is what it looked like for me, can be a huge thing. Like, Ron has shared his story of reconciliation with within his family, what it looked like for his dad to give himself completely over to the Lord and to repent and to ask forgiveness for the abuses that the family had suffered and just for that whole season in their life, and for God to fully restore their family, like fully restore their family. And so, like, the aspects of my family you see here at Shepherd's Heart, like, we're cool. And then there are broken parts of my family that are not cool, right? And so there is forgiveness there, but there is no reconciliation yet, right? There are parts of my family that there's some real strict boundaries with those people because of the things that they've done, right? There's just real, real strict, like, you got to stay on your side. And there's not bitterness. There's forgiveness, but there's no reconciliation yet. And so in my family, our tendency is to, like, after a while has passed where no one's talked about it, like, you just kind of let the person come back and pretend like nothing ever happened, right? And so, like, that's our tendency. And so then I've got a husband who had a really broken family. And now, like, his dad is so cool. And if you did not know their story, and you only knew Ron Sr. and Ron II and the way that they relate now, you would never know the trauma that is in their background, okay? And so I can go, oh, man, I want that for this relationship in my family, right? And out of my personal brokenness and our personal way that our family has handled things to date might go, oh, so I want this, so we're just going to let the person come back, right? But if I hear my husband's story, then I go, oh, wait. Like, there was forgiveness there, but then his dad, like, for real, fell in love with Jesus again and, like, humbled himself and legitimately asked for forgiveness for all the specific stuff he could remember and then kind of blanketed for the stuff he couldn't remember because of drugs, you know, and asked for them to share the pain, and, like, there was, like, legit sharing back and forth and going, this is what I did wrong. I know I was wrong, and real humility and going, okay, wait, I know because I was so wrong that stuff isn't going to change immediately. It's going to take time. And, you know, this happened very early in our marriage. So watching his dad walk that out to prove that he was a changed man to his family. So I look at that and I go, oh, that's how you get from brokenness to reconciliation and restoration. Not this busted way I've been trying to do it, and then I get confused when everything blows up in my face, and then it's broken again, right? But I go, oh, the other person, like, I can forgive them, but then the other person has to recognize that they did something wrong, and we actually have to talk about it, and then they have to slowly rebuild and show that they're changed. Okay, all right, so it provides me, like, a map, right? I see this thing that I want and that I want God to do in my life, and I go, oh, this is what it took to get there. So Ron's story is a resource for me, and it's only a resource for me because he shares it, right? And so, and he shares it because it's healing now. Like, he says he has God as the restorer, the repairer of the breach is the revelation that he's had through this, okay? And so he doesn't share the story like he wasn't out there telling everybody from behind the pulpit when it was still, like, broken and tender. Like, it's at the end point now, right? And so me, I'm in the broken and tender part of the story. Because you'll notice, I am saying very loudly some parts of it, like, hey, there's parts of my family that are busted, but I'm not telling you who it is and what it was, because that would be inappropriate, right, for me to share from a public kind of platform. It is not fixed. It is not healed. And so it's not right for me to share all the nitty-gritty in the way I could if we were all the way past the healing point. It's like, if I break something, when it's, like, splinted, or, like, yeah, I'll say a sprain, because, like, a break, you normally have the cast on, so people can't always touch it, but, like, a sprain, and you're like, oh, man, this really hurts. You don't let people go poking at it, right? Like, you're not like, oh, here, oh, ow, that hurt, do it again, ow, that hurt. Like, no, you let it heal, but once it's healed, you're like, touch it, touch it. Yeah, see? That's strong now. Watch me jump on it. You know, you're like, you're ready to let it out. And so sharing your, so I say that because sometimes if you grew up with not so awesome boundaries, you might be like, oh, I'm going to share my whole story. And you're sharing parts of it that aren't, it's not time to be shared yet. So that's why I just kind of wanted to do that. Hey, sometimes it's okay to wait. Like sometimes it's okay to wait. Okay? But your story provides a resource for others who are on a similar journey. It gives an opportunity for deeper connections. Like, we are a body. That's one way God describes us. We are a family. Okay? And even as we were talking about communion today, we were talking about intimacy. Okay? It's about being known. Like, sharing my story helps you know me. It helps you know where I'm coming from. On Sunday mornings, we go to another church. We're at another church. You guys all know that. And sometimes they sing like these old like spirituals and everything. And people have noticed, but not everyone knows the reason, that any of the songs, and this is not an old spiritual, but any of the songs that talk about, look what the Lord has done, like, look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. Okay? One of my children will, they're not really paying attention, so I'm trying not to grab their attention. One of my children will, like, legitimately catch the spirit. Like, we'll be there, and I'll just kind of be like, you know? And they'll be like, and they'll slowly move in front of me. And then they'll be like, and all of a sudden, they are down in front of the church, like spinning, legs kicking, jumping, like madly before the Lord. And it's always on songs that are about looking what the Lord has done and him being a healer to them. Okay? Because that is their story, right? And legitimately, like, they'll be totally out of it. And then all of a sudden, the song will start and they'll just be like, like, I have videos where I'll just, like, record it, like, from the hip shot. And they'll be like, and all of a sudden, just no one else in the church can even really be feeling it. Like, it can just be transitionary music where everyone's, like, finding their seat. And they are gone before the Lord. And so one of these times this happened, and another woman came over. And they, like, had tears in their eyes. And they're like, man, I don't think people realize why she does that on those songs. Because they are a good friend, and they had walked with us through this whole journey that this kid has, you know? And so when they catch the spirit over these songs about Jesus as the healer, about looking what the Lord has done, about healing their body, this person knows, like, this woman knows why that is such a real thing to that kid. That they're not just, oh, this song has a good beat. I'm just gonna feel it, you know, but that they are actually engaged with the Lord in a very real way. And they're like, man, some of these other people are just kind of like, oh, kids dancing. And they're like, if they only knew. Right? And because they know that part of our story, because they know that part of our daughter's story, they have an understanding and a connection with us that other people don't have, because they just don't know that part of the story, you know? So my name is Valerie, right? I honestly do not care if people call me Valerie or Val. Like, so I'm going to say this, but you don't have to change what you call me. Like, I honestly do not care if people call me Valerie or Val. However, it matters a lot how I introduce myself, okay? Because in my mind, I'm Valerie, right? Everybody who is close to me in my life, my closest family, my closest friends, mostly call me Valerie. They'll call me Val sometimes, but mostly call me Valerie. And so when I moved to Kansas City, like right before we moved, I was like, Lord, I don't feel like I have like a whole lot of friends. Like, I don't have deep connections. There's like a couple people and they've been around for like a long time, but I don't feel like I'm getting like close with anyone new. Like, I feel really disconnected, God. Like, can I just, you know, I'm just like moping before the Lord. Can I just, my husband says it's when I flap, like I'll be explaining something to him and I'll be like, it's just, right? And my arms start going. And so I'm like that in prayer, like, God, like, I just don't feel known by anyone. And he's like, maybe you should start by telling people your name. And I all of a sudden realized that I had spent the last several years introducing myself to people as Val. Okay? And once again, I don't care if people call me Val. But if I only introduce myself as Val, I'm not giving you any opportunity to go further with me. Because the closest people call me Valerie. And that's how I think of myself. Like, if I'm talking to myself, I'm not like, Val, you need to get your act together. I'm like, Valerie, get your act together. Like, I think of myself as Valerie, right? So if I say, oh, hi, I'm Val, and that's what I give somebody, I'm never giving them an opportunity to go deep with me. Because I'm not even trusting them with my name, right? Like, how I think of myself. I'm not trusting them with who I am. Right? And so God like convicted me of that. And so then I got to Kansas City and they were like, what name do you want on your badge? Val or Valerie? And I like went, And my husband looked at me like rubber meets the road time. What's she gonna do? And I was like, Valerie. You know? And it was like, it seems like such a little thing. But, you know, the name on your tag or the name that you say is what people start off calling you as. Okay? And so you have to think, if you're resistant to sharing parts of your story with people, like you're resistant to sharing, and I'm just talking about like the over and done with parts of your story. I'm not talking about the painful stuff that you're in the middle of. I'm talking about like the over and done with like praise report parts of your story, right? If you're resistant to sharing that with people and then you're confused why you feel lonely, like there's a reason. Like, there's a lot of people who I'm like, hey, what's the Lord done for you? And they're like, oh, I don't want to take up too much time. I don't want to tell. I don't want to, you know what I mean? And they just like brush it off. And it's like, hey, that's like a softball way to let people into your life, to let people into your story. You know, when we were in Kansas City, we were living as missionaries. And we moved there with 3 children. Right? We moved in 2012. So we moved with a 3-year-old, a 2-year-old, March, April, May, June, and a 4-month-old, right? And the car that we had was a Volkswagen Golf. And so when we had Nikaya, when we were buying the car seats for the older girls, because we were moving them up and moving Nikaya into the infant car seat, you know, we were doing the whole shuffle down, Ron was at Babies R Us, like, eyeballing all the seats, because we were like, we've got to get 3 car seats into the back of this Volkswagen Golf. We don't have another vehicle. And so he's in like Babies R Us, and finally he went to the guy and was like, hey, can I take this out of the store? And they're like, man, you got to pay for it. And he's like, no, I need to figure out, like, you can walk out with me, but I need to take the display one, and I need to figure out if it's going to fit. So we bought these 2 like slim fit car seats. And so we kind of like, you kind of had to lift the car door and like, to get it to shut, like everything would kind of compress. And so that's what we moved with. And every time I tell this, I realize how truly ridiculous we are, like as a family. Like, we are the most ridiculous couple. So we move and we promptly invite other people to live with us who don't have vehicles. So 3 of our God kids, 1 a minor and 2 like of age. So like 18 and like a 21-year-old. And then our godson, who was much younger at the time, like 11 or something at the time. They promptly come and join us for the summer. And we've got to like, fortunately we're like close to everything, but there's no sidewalks there and it's all like hills. So even though we were only like a mile from the place, you couldn't really walk it. And it was we tried it once and we were like sweating, like dripping sweating by the time we got there. And it was like 106 degrees outside. So you really needed to drive. So we had me and you two other adult women, a preteen boy, and then these three infants and a Volkswagen Golf. And so we would do shifts. We would like drive half the group to the church and then loop back around and drive the other half of the church, or like drive half to like the shuttle stop so they could take the shuttle that was close to our house to the church and then drive like the rest. And so we were just making this little car work, and we proceeded to continue to make it work for four more years. No, less than that, because it was we didn't get pregnant until afterwards. So like three more years. And so one of the times we were driving back to Rochester to visit everybody, and Ron on his worship team is like, and the thing is, we were open about it, right? Like Ron's like, hey, pray for me. We're driving 1,000 miles, and it's like the five of us in this little Volkswagen Golf. Like, hey, just pray for us, you know? And they're like, they're praying for him, and they're like, hey, you know, God's going to bless you with another car when you're there. And you know how when people say stuff, sometimes you're just like, praise God, praise God. Right? But it's not. You know, you're just like, yeah, man, all right, all right, all right, all right, all right. You know? And so that's kind of the response. And Ron tells me, and we're like, oh, okay. And then we get here, and we pull up. We get here on a Wednesday night. And so we go straight to the church that we were attending. And we get out, and everyone's like, stretch, stretch, crack, crack, popping. And they're like, we're like, yeah, we just got here from Kansas City. Like, just got here. And they're like, wait, wait, wait. You drove from Kansas City in that? And we're like, yeah. Yeah. You know, Zoe's like six now. Adea's five. Nakia's, how old would she be then? Three? Three. And so, and we're just like, yeah. And they're like, man. And so then like 3 days later, they're like, hey, we want to get you another car. And we're like, word? Like, what? You know, and so they get us the Explorer that we have, right? And so Ron, we were on the night watch at that time, so like his whole team is up at different hours, so he calls, stays up late so he can call them when they wake up. So he stays up, he has to stay up to like 1 because they're an hour behind, so he can call them at midnight. And he's like, you'll never guess what happened, to build up other people's faith. And so we told that story, right? We told that story because we wanted people to know how good God was. And it was amazing how much it blessed other people, us telling the story. And it blessed us every time we told it. And we could have very easily not ever shared that story. Because it's kind of like, hey, we're driving this compact car with a family of five. And we didn't get anything bigger until someone literally bought it for us. You know? And so it'd be very easy to be like, let's just not share that story. Like, that doesn't, maybe that doesn't put us in the best light. Let's not share that one. But it was such a blessing to share that story, and it let people know us, and it let people know our heart. And also, our newsletter, like, we sent out the newsletter, and we shared about how God had blessed us with this car, right? And how, you know, two of our partners had blessed us with this new vehicle, and God was so good. And then the person who gave us the car shares the newsletter on Facebook and is like, man, this story had me like in tears before the Lord. Like, God is so good. And I'm like, you're the one who gave, like, they're like, God is so, like, and I'm like, you remember that you bought us that, right? Like, but it was so good for that story to be shared, and it connected us, and it connected everyone we shared that story with even more. So I say that because I talk with a lot of people who feel lonely and wonder how they can get connected. And that's one of like the easiest ways. Share what God has done for you. Share who he is to you. Okay? And so number 6, it provides an answer for the hope within you, which is 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. New King James. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. Like, so many times we take that as like, be ready to debate. Like, in season and out of season. If they come at you, be ready with, like, your five-paragraph, three-point, like, boom, 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 I got the statistics about who got us. Right? Like, that's cool. You know, I like a good debate. You know, but when someone asks you who God is, or why he is, or we had a Bible study last week and one of the teachers was saying, one of her students said, Miss, don't you ever have a bad day? Because their experience of her was that she came in always with a smile, right? So that's, she had to be ready immediately to give a defense for the hope that was in her. They're like, Miss, don't you ever have a bad day? And she's like, let me tell you. Because her life isn't all rainbows and sunshine. So she could share what was really going on, but why she could still come in, why she could still be at peace, why she could still have hope and have joy. And so many times our experience is the thing that provides the best defense, the best reason, because it's not something someone can hit back at you at. Like, I remember being a senior in high school, and we're all writing in each other's yearbooks. And in my yearbook, someone I had known since I was in eighth grade said, you probably don't remember this, but before we met, I dropped all my books in the hallway, and you were the only one who stopped and helped me pick them up. And that was her memory of me, right? And she could ask me, like, hey, why are you consistent to do those small things? Like, why do you care about that? And then I have an opportunity to share who the Lord is to me, because I am living the truth that God has revealed to me. And that's this phrase right now, like, live your truth. And so many times it's warped to, like, mean something kind of, like, sketchy, where someone says it and I'm like, ooh, I feel kind of slimed by you saying that. Like, what you're doing is not truth, right? Because God is truth, right? But when we're talking about living your truth, we can say that in a very real way, because we're living our experience of the truth of who God is. Amen. And people can't refute that. Like, if they're like, hey, why do you open your home even when you don't have a whole bunch? Like, why did you let people move in with you when you didn't have a vehicle to drive people around? And it's like, hey, because people open their homes to us. And that's how we came to know the Lord. Right? And then we can share about all those stories, you know, about how people opened their homes to us and how it taught us and made us into the people we are today, and why we wanted to do that for others. And people can't be like, well, you shouldn't do that, because they can't refute the experience and who it made us into and us saying, hey, we want to give that to somebody else. Right? So all that to say, one way in which you can praise the Lord, one way you can yada and give thanks for who he is to tell your stories, to tell them in detail, to share who God is and how you came to that understanding and how you came to that realization. When we moved to Kansas City, one of the first things we did was we all shared our testimonies, right? We were in a small group, and each week one or two people would share their testimonies. And it was amazing how connected we felt. You know, it's a few weeks in and we're like, you know the intimate details of people's life, like how they came to know the Lord, what brought them to Kansas City, why they were giving up 6 months of their lives to spend time in a 24-hour prayer room. And instead of being like, these people are strangers and I don't know them and you want me to share like my prayer requests, like what's stirring in my heart, we were known and we were connected because we had shared about our revelation of the Lord. And so, and I want that for all of you guys. And I personally want to be encouraged in my walk with the Lord because of your stories and what you carry. So on that note, Lord, we thank you for your goodness. You are good and you do good, and every good and perfect gift comes from you. We thank you that you are our Father who does not change, that you are not a man who should lie, but that you reveal yourself and you continue to reveal yourself to each one of us. Continue to highlight your name to us. Help us know our stories. Help us see you clearly, and help us reveal our experiences of you to others. that we continue to grow together and become mature as one body. In Jesus' name, amen.